broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is indeed the broadcast for, what is it, already April the 7th? Yes, indeed, in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Wow, we have so much to talk about, so little time, huh? Last hour, we had a great discussion, myself with the good Sheriff Richard Mack, founder and president of the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. He wants to create a bridge between the citizens and law enforcement. How do we work together with sheriffs? How do we make a difference? How do we have the people stand with their sheriffs? That's what it's all about at CSPOA.org. Spread the word. Become a member today, would you please? And Sam and Mac discuss Ammon Bundy's case and what are we the people to do. We also talked about the illegal immigrant crisis. If that wasn't bad enough, you know what? Homeless folks are being kicked out of shelters in America. So Americans, homeless, kicked out of shelters to make room for illegal aliens. And the illegal aliens are being led into the United States and put in the shelters with COVID-19 even. So you and I can't walk into a restaurant without a mask on or walk into the public legislature without a mask on without getting arrested. But yet illegals can literally cross the border, kick out an American from a homeless shelter, take over, set up shop, and they're all good. We'll eventually move them from homeless shelters to hotel rooms and eventually from hotel rooms onto the public dole. And from the public dole, we're going to give them hospitalization and health care and education, and the list goes on and on. How does all that work in America, ladies and gentlemen? Ammon Bundy being harassed at public events while the illegals simply get carte blanche pass to hang out and have a good time, pretty much, right? It's insane, ladies and gentlemen. And we talked last hour with Richard Mack about, you know, when can we and how can we hold elected and appointed officials accountable for their actions? You know what? When they do wrong things, what do we do with it? Right? Like the president of the United States, Joe, whacked out grandpa, crazy Joe. All right. They say he doesn't even have the mental capacity to be president, but yet there he sits. What do we do about that? How do we deal with that? And can the president become a king? Can he do whatever he wants to do? And the answer is, sadly, it looks like the answer is yes. I hate to admit that, but I can see it on the wall. Let me give you some examples to highlight the point. Biden has a $2 trillion spending plan. It's billed as an infrastructure bill. All right, so we're going to fix the bridges. We're going to fix the dams. We're going to fix the what? Infrastructure. So the roads. Okay. But here's the problem. His $2 trillion spending plan billed as an infrastructure bill literally spends half, or they say less than half, on infrastructure. So we got an infrastructure bill that we're going to spend less than half the money on infrastructure. What it is it's loaded with pork barrel spending. It's just packed with all kinds of bring home the bacon to specific districts and et cetera, et cetera. It's packed with things that have nothing. It's packed with what? Climate change? Environmental, quote, initiatives? Where do you go with this kind of thing? Okay, can you hold the president accountable? Or can he just say it's a spending package to build the infrastructure, but yet most of the money's not for infrastructure anyway, and that's just fine. And, well, we're going to have Congress put the bill in the hopper, and we're going to have that bill just grow to epic proportions based on pork barrel spending and bringing home the bacon for your district, legislative agenda items, et cetera. And the bill just bloats, and gets massively big. And then what do? We just put it in at the last minute into the hopper, and no one has a chance to read it, and we pass that thing, and then bureaucrats and elected officials like Nancy Pelosi and others say, well, you got to read the thing to know what's in it. And, well, man, if we can't read it because it's too big and we don't have time, I guess you're just going to have to, you know, after the fact, after we pass it, then you're going to have to see what's in it to know. And we go right on down the list. Now you got bureaucrats and professional do-gooders that literally sign all this stuff, put it into law, codify it. No one's really read it. No one knows what they've agreed to. Now we got a $2 trillion spending plan that was supposedly billed to the American people as an infrastructure bill to kind of, you know, save the roads and and all this from the dams, from decay, from, you know, literally crumbling. But yet most of it's not even on the infrastructure, and then it gets passed, and then what? The people are responsible for it? But they've been betrayed by the President of the United States, right? They've been betrayed by their members of Congress. Don't worry. The Biden administration is contemplating a series of tax hikes on high-income earners and corporations that they say could potentially yield more than $2 trillion in revenue over the next decade, according to Bloomberg News. Let me try to understand this, if I might. We're saying, let me get this right. We're saying, ladies and gentlemen, that we're going to have a spending plan of $2 trillion. Then what we're going to do is we're going to have Joe Biden administration contemplating raising taxes on the wealthy and on big business to the $2 to $2 trillion over the next decade to pay for it. And what Joe said on the campaign trail is, well, golly, we've got to have these rich people pay their fair share for a change. And now it's becoming reality. And what are the American people going to do when this happens? Okay, now Joe Biden said to call for a worldwide tax hike. So now you got the President of the United States. What? I don't know how we deal with this, right? I don't know where we go with this kind of thing. And you can say, Sam, it's too complicated. Let the bureaucrats have it. Let the bureaucrats deal with it. I don't know how to cope with this, folks, because it becomes so egregious, so abusive, so hostile. Biden administration to call for a worldwide tax hike so U.S. companies don't leave after his tax increase. So let me get this straight. Joe Biden is calling for a United States tax on the wealthy and on big business, so much so that I'm telling you right now, companies just are going to want to flee the country. Then he wants to push for a global tax so that even if you flee, you get nailed to the wall. And this is the guy that literally swore an oath to protect America from enemies, foreign and domestic. But he's now going to spend $2 trillion on his environmental, on a special project agenda. He's going to fleece the people $2 trillion to pay for it all. And he's going to back it with a global tax so you don't leave. And this is what I brought up to Richard Mack last hour. When these people commit these kind of criminal acts, well, I guess it doesn't rise to the level of criminal activity there. And it's just a bad policy is all it is. It's not really criminal. It's just bad policy, I tell you. You know, but can the people stop it? Can the people do anything about it? Can we make a difference, or are we just flat out completely, what would the word be, disenfranchised maybe? Is that the word? We're just disenfranchised and there's nothing we can do about it? What can we the people do? You say, Sam, you got to elect different politicians. Yeah, but the elections are stolen, they say. Some say, well, you can't even say that. It's not true. Deal with the facts, Sam. Well, we don't know what the facts are because we never could get to a jury to subpoena information. We go right back to the same discussion. If you can't trust the courts, if you can't trust the legislative body, if you can't trust the executive branch, what are we to do? What do you do? Well, Sam, you remain peaceful. For how long? What level do we allow them to continue to create secret combinations above the people and abuse the laws, violate our liberties, become literal kingmakers up there? How long do we tolerate that? Do we wait till after they take the guns? Or do we say, wait a minute, whoa, you can do a lot of things, but you can't take the guns, because if we let you do that, then we'll never be able to fight back. See, these are serious contemplative questions. And I know by me even asking the questions, my enemies and those who want to take advantage of me because of my words and everything else, go look at your Bible for guidance on that in the latter days, if you will. But they're going to try to say that I'm calling for this, and that's a lie. Okay, let's be clear. That is an absolute lie if they try to spin this that way. Don't let them do it. Be smarter than that, people. Okay, I am saying to you, how do we avoid this crisis? How do we peacefully get those who serve us, those whom we've elected, and then those whom they've appointed, right? How do we peacefully rein them in, make them accountable, hold them to account? How do we do that in ways that make sense, in ways that lay the boundaries down of the separate jurisdictions, the federal versus the states? That's the, vertical and horizontal divide I keep talking about. How do we separate power into the three branches? How do we say, President, you cannot make legislative decisions regarding taxes, period. You're in the wrong branch of government, sir. You can't do it, Joe. You don't have authority. It's not your jurisdictional responsibility based on the supreme law of the land designator of responsibility. Okay, it's all laid out there. Government, we give you power by the consent of the governed, and we give it to different branches of government based on written contract, the supreme law, the Constitution for the United States of America. That's where it comes from, right? That's where it is. Okay, how do we make sure, President, you don't step out of bounds? And if you do step out of bounds, which this is what we're discussing, he's stepping out of bounds left and right, right? Okay, if he does step out of bounds, what recourse do we have to maybe not take it criminal, but to stop him from doing that and say, you know what, you don't have that right. I know it's the tendency of bad men to do this, but Joe, stop. Quick pause. Sam Bushman, Liberty Roundtable Live.
I reinstated a policy first put in place by President Ronald Reagan, the Mexico City policy. I strongly supported the House of Representatives' pain capable bill, which would end painful late-term abortions nationwide. And I call upon the Senate to pass this important law and send it to my desk for signing. We are protecting the sanctity of life and the family as the foundation of our society. And most importantly of all, it is the gift of life itself. That is why we march. That is why we pray, and that is why we declare that America's future will be filled with goodness, peace, joy, dignity, and life for every child of God.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, the administration, that's the Joe administration, has proposed the largest tax hike in almost 30 years to pay for Joe Biden's almost $2 trillion Jobs Act. They claim it's a bill slated to fund America's infrastructure. It's a major policy initiative really designed to promote climate research and climate change reality. Axios reported this on Monday. Now, they say Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen is going to be calling for a, quote, Janet Yellen is calling for a global minimum tax rate to prevent U.S. companies from going offshore. All right? Because here's the problem. The tax changes include raising America's corporate tax rate from 21% to 28%. That's a move that conservatives and moderate Democrats have argued could be devastating for the American middle class. Now listen carefully. In a speech to the Chicago Council of Global Affairs on Monday, Janet Yellen is expected to push for all industrialized nations to raise their corporate tax rates to a, quote, minimum standard to ensure what they call economic competitiveness worldwide. However, she will reportedly argue that the tax rate minimum is for the main purpose of ensuring that those foreign countries have enough revenue to maintain their own governments. They say competitiveness is about more than how U.S. headquartered companies fare against other companies in other countries. Because we're talking about global merger and acquisition bids, and the disparity is such a problem, the secretary plans to say. It's about making sure that governments have stable tax systems that raise sufficient revenue to invest in essential public goods and respond to public crises, and that all citizens fairly share the burden of financing government. We are working with, quote, G20 nations to agree to a global minimum tax rate to stop the race to the bottom, she will state. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me just ask you a question. If you're the president of the United States and you swear an oath to the supreme law of the land, you swear an oath to protect Americans from enemies foreign and domestic, and then you literally say we're going to raise the taxes on the American people to fund a global warming, global, you know, environmental crisis discussion. Global change, or, you know, environmental change, or whatever, climate change, whatever words you use. And you literally are going to raise the rates, and then companies are going to flee. And so to stop them from fleeing, you literally double down and start working with G20 nations. In other words, now you're working on the global stage to agree to a global minimum corporate tax rate that can stop the race to the bottom. You got to ask yourself that question. Instead of competition globally between countries, is that directly undermining United States sovereignty and undermining your oath of office, which says that you will protect us from enemies, foreign and domestic? At some point, if you literally work on the global stage with the G20 to advocate for and push for these tax minimums and these tax increases, literally forcing or, coercing or whatever term you want to use, exhorting other nations to raise their taxes too, to be in lockstep with, at some point, have you undermined your oath to the point of what? Criminal activity? Oh, no, not near that high. Bad actor status? Oh, maybe a bad guy in preference would disagree on opinion here. Now, you can, but at what point do you say you violated your oath of office? At what point do you say, you know what, you're not advocating for the American people and for the United States of America? You're not keeping your oath of office. In fact, you've got a globalistic agenda that's at odds with the goals and dreams of the United States of America. You're at odds with the oath of office that you've made. You're conflicted, to say the least. In fact, I mean, could it be said that you're consorting with the enemy? Oh, no, Sam, that's way too more. That's way too far. That's way too. You can't be saying that kind of stuff. Yeah, but at what point do you say they're undermining the very laws in the very country and the very nature of the intent of the oath of office in the first place, right? When do you say, wait a minute, you're undermining that. We've gone too far here. You know, you could say, well, it's just a matter of opinion. And I would say it's not just a matter of opinion. We're not just talking about opinion here. If you work with a G20, so 20 other countries, and you're the president of the United States, and you work to create, what do you call it, legislation? laws across the world that are at odds with the United States, are you undermining your own legislative body in your own country? Because if you make a global agreement, global tariffs or global trade agreement or whatever you want to call it, right? A tariffs and trade and agreements. And at some point you expect to codify that into law. Are you becoming a global legislator as the president of the United States at the expense of your national legislative body? And at some point, doesn't that create a constitutional crisis to have those two collide? Right? You got the national legislative body designed to make the laws in this country, but then you've got a president who's supposed to execute our laws, but yet he's working with an international body to legislate, do you dare say, global governance above the federal government? I say that it's not. But if you're the president of the United States and you're working with these global officials, you're almost forcing the global governance to be above the national legislative body, and you're pitting globalism against what? America first policies? And you got to really ask yourself, when does the president have the right to do that and be on firm ground for the benefit of the people versus when does he do that and he directly undermines the people? You literally have Janet Yellen, the Treasury Secretary, saying, we are working with G20 nations to agree to a global minimum corporate tax rate that'll prevent a race to the bottom. The worldwide average corporate tax rate right now, ladies and gentlemen, is just under 24%. They want to make it higher. Biden has tasked Janet Yellen with convincing the business community on the global stage that, you know what, global infrastructure funding, in other words, proposing for funding for that, right, and subsequent tax increases will not lead to inflation. Yellen will look for significant international assistance. But I say, compared to what? Assistance from who? Shouldn't we be looking at America to build our economy? Shouldn't we be looking to our own legislative body for guidance on legislative matters? After all, we the people elected that legislative body to do just that, did we not? And if we're going to go to a global legislative group that's outside of the United States, the president's going to be our, what do you want to call it, linchpin legislator on the national stage? I mean, the international stage. So Biden's going to be the linchpin legislator, and he's going to have his assistant, Janet Yellen, carry that out on the international stage. Where does that leave our legislative body in America, ladies and gentlemen? Are they to sit on the sidelines? Or are they just simply to rubber stamp, ratify the deal made on the international stage? You've got some real hard questions to answer here, ladies and gentlemen. And what's at stake? Is our sovereignty. What's at stake? The American individual, especially if you're wealthy, and the, quote, corporate, which corporations are nothing more than mere images of individuals, right? Your wallets are at stake, folks. Biden is literally advocating on the international stage to jettison our legislative body, to codify increased taxation on a global level at the expense of the American people and American business. And, of course, he's the president, so he can do anything he wants as a king, right? Wrong. In America, that at least should be wrong. I am Sam Bushman. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Georgia Governor Brian Kemp rips Major League Baseball on Fox News for discrepancy after moving the All-Star Game out of Atlanta.
The All-Star Game from a city that's, you know, or a metro area that's 51% African-American to a metro area that's 10% African-American that has less early voting days than Georgia has. They have 15, we have 17.
A follow-up on a surveillance video that captured violence in Manhattan last week, where a 65-year-old Asian woman on her way to church was viciously beaten by a complete stranger. The building workers who stood idly by as the woman was brutally attacked are out of a job. They were fired. NYPD is reporting 38-year-old Brandon Elliott has been charged with hate crimes. Attorneys general from Texas and Louisiana on Tuesday took the Biden administration to court, alleging that it is refusing to take custody of illegal immigrants convicted of serious crimes. USA Radio News.
Could an ancient mystery be determining the events of our time? Could it reveal the secret of our future? Are recent events a warning that we are approaching judgment? How much time do we have left? Author Jonathan Kahn releases the book that reveals what could not be revealed until now. His newest New York Times bestseller, The Harbinger 2, The Return, embark on an epic journey to uncover the mysteries and revelations that are changing the world and will change your life. Available online and wherever fine books are sold.
Let me get right back to you. Sandra, those banners come out tonight. Can you pack them?
Indeed, knows unexpected growth can stretch your business thin.
On machine four?
Like at Monica's print shop. To fulfill orders on time, she needs to get started hiring right away.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. And the moment you sponsor a job on Indeed, you get a short list of quality candidates from our resume database. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get a $75 credit for your first sponsored job post. Terms and conditions apply.
With numerous allegations of human rights abuses, it looks as if the United States will not boycott the Olympic Games in China next year. From the Ohio USA Radio News Bureau, Dan Naraki reports.
The Biden administration is considering how to handle next year's Winter Olympic Games in Beijing. The State Department said Tuesday that the administration is consulting with its allies in forming a strategy to handle the Games in China with that country's human rights record. State Department officials clarified that a joint boycott has not been discussed, even though several human rights groups have called on the U.S. to skip the Games over China's treatment of Tibet, Hong Kong, and its Uyghur minority. State Department spokesman Ned Price says there is no timeline for a decision on the Games, with opening ceremonies not until February of 2022.
In 2008, the Olympic Games were held in China for the very first time. Making the TV news circuit, Senator Lindsey Graham, the Republican from South Carolina, called for the United States to shut down the immigration system and have a timeout, like we shut down travel from China, and let's figure this out. USA Radio News.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, back with you live. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. It's hard to even contemplate the things we're discussing on your radio right now. So not only is Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen going on the global stage saying we got to have a global tax hike, a minimum tax. Not only is Biden calling for increased taxes on the wealthy and on corporations in America, but now Laura Logan. Who's that, you might ask? I'll tell you in just a second. But Laura Logan went on to the Glenn Beck radio program and argued that Biden's border crisis is enabling the most powerful criminal organizations on the earth. Yeah. Biden's border crisis is enabling the greatest powerful criminal organizations on the earth. It's hard to even know how to respond to this, folks. Now, it was said on the Glenn Beck program, they say the violence of the cartels is not like anything anyone has ever seen before. Now, I don't even know how to respond to this, but this is what I mean. Where do you say the president has the right to do what he wants to do as president? He's within his bounds. He's within his executive responsibilities. He's within his delegated authority based on the consent of the governed. That's we the people, mind you, right? When is he not? If he destroys the border, you've got literally criminal organizations. The violence of the cartels is not like anything anyone has ever seen before. All right? Biden's border crisis is enabling all this, right? I mean, what do you do here? How do you deal with a statement like that? And then say, it's the president. And you got to understand, is he undermining America? Or is it just, it doesn't really rise to the level of criminality? If Joe doesn't feel as strong on the border as Donald, then it's just a personal preference of the president, and it's okay. But you're literally kicking Americans out of homeless shelters, and you're replacing them with illegal aliens? Yeah, according to A.J. Lauterbach, current sheriff in Texas right now, A.J. Lauterbach, who's been on this radio program, Sheriff Lauterbach says, hey, when the Border Patrol turns illegals away because of the law, then Joe Biden sends a private secret communique back to the illegals saying, wait a minute, stop, turn around, come back, we'll let you in. And then when that's happening and we find out from investigative journalists like Laura Logan and others, that's who she is, an investigative journalist. I told you I'd come back and tell you who she is. And she's basically saying, hey, you know what? Joe Biden's crisis on the border is enabling the most powerful criminal organizations on the earth. And their violence is like nothing we've ever known or seen before. It's out of control violence. Right? The violence of the cartels is not like anything anyone has ever seen before. I don't even know how to respond to that kind of criminal activity. Do you, ladies and gentlemen? But yet, what can we, the people, do to stop the president? Well, he was duly elected there, they say. Now, Laura Logan is an award-winning investigative journalist, is who she is. All right? Now, listen. We're using border wall construction roads and allowing these people to cross the border much more easily, she continues. Laura has witnessed and experienced firsthand some of the worst violence around the world as a worldwide correspondent for CBS News. She told Glenn that it's not an overstatement to call the cartels in Mexico the most violent and powerful criminal organizations on the face of the earth. They're at war with us, and we're asleep at the wheel, she says. Think about that for a minute, folks. I don't even know how to respond to this. And Joe's just letting it happen there, hum-de-dum. You Americans that leave the homeless shelter so we can let the illegals in. Border crisis. Climate change. Taking away people's guns. Raising taxes nationally. And, hey, so you don't flee from the country, just work on the global stage to do the same thing. And how much undermining of American ideals and American rule of law can the president engage in without becoming a criminal himself? How much latitude does he have where we just say, it's just a matter of opinion there. Sam, I don't really want to discuss this. It's very political, and I'm just not acclimated for political discussions there. Sam, you just always stir the pot and kind of mix it up and make it work. Sam, and I'm saying, wait a minute, people, this is not an opinion discussion. This is a national security crisis. I don't even think we can call it a border crisis anymore. Okay? When the president over climate change wants to literally control everything you think and do and say and eat and everything else, and then when they literally are enabling the greatest cartels, the greatest criminal enterprises in the world by their actions, and then they're raising taxes and stealing from our wallets, at what point do you say, you know what? We've got to take measures to make this stop. Well, what measures can we take, Sam? We don't want to go to violence. I agree we don't. That's why I'm bringing it up now in hopes that we can find a peaceful remedy. See, I'm all about the peaceful solution. I'm the guy for literally 25-plus years on the radio have literally said almost every single day that, you know what? We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. I'm not downing America. I'm praising America. I'm not downing other nations. I'm saying we can help them be great, too. All they've got to do is learn about the checks and balances in our Constitution that are the key to our success, backed by a moral society. We need to teach other nations to be moral. We need to be a light on a hill to help them, too. I want to make Mexico great. I want to make China great. I want to make all these countries great. But I can only do it if I set my own house in order first, right? You know, if I'm a parent, how likely am I going to help my kids live good, productive lives if I'm not living a good, productive life, right? I mean, it stands to reason that I got to make sure that I got my act together so that I can reach out and help others. I can only pull people to higher ground if I'm on firm ground is the idea, right? So I don't know what needs to be done here, folks. This is the great think tank. I do have some solutions in mind. And I can certainly highlight this reality. Okay? I really have solutions, and I'll get to them in just a second. Sorry for the quick pause. Laura also offers solutions that the United States can enact to deal with or stop these atrocities around the world. There's more than 30,000 Mexican civilians who are massacred every single year by the criminal cartels. Did you know that? Let me say that again. There's more than 30,000 Mexican civilians who are massacred every year by these criminal cartels that Laura speaks of. And that's just the bodies that the Mexican government knows about and owns up to, right? There's Mexicans buried in unmarked mass graves all across the country. And she says the violence by these cartels is beyond what anybody's ever seen before. Believe it or not, it even pales in comparison to, at times, what terrorist groups like ISIS and others have done, she says. Anyway, she went on and explained some of the unspeakable acts of violence and murder that have taken place from the drug cartels, the Mexican cartels, 98% of which go uninvestigated. We don't even dig in and get to the bottom of them. Wow, folks. That's not unprosecuted, Glenn, she says. That's uninvestigated, she emphasized. They get away with it with impunity. The law enforcement guy, the policeman, the Marine, the National Guardsman, who are trying to do the right thing, who are not in the pocket of the cartels, what chance do those guys have? They don't have a chance. You know where they end up if they stand up? In unmarked graves. Anyway, disturbing content in the video that they've got on the website here. And I'm not really praising the Glenn Beck program, but Glenn deserves credit on this for the detailed reporting. So does Laura. It's the Blaze. Yeah, it's the Blaze reporting this, folks. They've got some guts, and they're spot on right. What do we do when the president is the enabler? Liberty Roundtable Live in seconds.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. So I've asked a serious question last hour and this hour, and I'm going to stick with it. What do we do with these criminal government officials? Take actions that are blatantly against their oaths of office, blatantly undermine the proper role of limited constitutional government, blatantly violate jurisdictional boundaries, blatantly violate their oaths of office, literally work with global organizations and cartels and everything else to undermine the very oath they've taken. Laura Logan says Biden's border crisis is enabling the most powerful criminal organizations on earth. Now let's move along, but listen to this next headline. Ready? Donald Trump said that the Chinese were a problem, that we needed to rein in China. They all mocked President Trump, but he was spot on correct. Not because we hate the Chinese. As a people, they're wonderful people. As a government, though, they have a little bit to be desired. They're communist, right? And we don't really embrace the principles of communism because they're at, what, 180 degrees opposite from what we believe in America, right? You know, if you set the Communist Manifesto side by side to the Constitution, you'll find some striking differences in the approach to things, if you will, right? Well, now Senator Mitt Romney calls for, quote, non-traditional boycott of Beijing Olympics. So I guess they're going to have the Winter Olympics in Beijing, 2022? Yeah, so the Winter Olympics, they want to have it in Beijing, China. And now Romney and others are saying, hey, we got to have a non-traditional boycott of China. But Dateline Beijing, now Beijing warns Washington not to boycott Winter Olympics in Beijing. And then the Chinese begin to kind of say, look, we are telling you, you better not boycott this. You better not stop the Olympics. You better not opt out. You better be completely supportive or else. And they threaten repercussions, but they don't really articulate what. What do you think of that? You comfortable with all that? You comfortable with Romney calling for a non-traditional boycott? How would a boycott look, folks? Would it go well for the Americans? Right now, I think not. I don't think it'd go well for the Americans at all. In fact, I think it'd be a disaster on steroids. Not because I love the Chinese, not because I believe in their communism, but because we've had them as the most favored nation trading partner for literally decades now. And we have become so dependent on the communist Chinese that I'm not so sure we could break away if we wanted to. I'm not saying we could never break away. I'm not saying it's undoable or unsolvable. I'm saying you can't solve it in a day, and you're not going to solve it by protesting the Olympics or boycotting or whatever you want to say the Olympics. That's not the way you're going to get it done. I don't know what a non-traditional boycott actually means from Romney. What is a non-traditional boycott? And is there an advantage to boycotting the Olympics in 2022, the Winter Olympics anyway? See, I don't see any value in that at all. Now, as you know, sports team after sports team after sports team has backed the communist Chinese, even above their own citizenry in the United States. Oh, yeah, look at baseball now. Trump's up in arms. Baseball literally inking contracts with the communist Chinese. Literally moving from Georgia to Colorado, saying, golly, we're not going to be with Georgia because they have voting laws that are not favorable. Or don't, they say, don't fall in line with our corporate responsibilities, and et cetera. They go on and on. Okay. But you look at the baseball industry, the basketball, the NBA, and they're all in bed with the communist Chinese. Look, you can't back away from the sports connections that we've created over decades, overnight. You just can't do that. And I'm not advocating for the Chinese. I'm just being realistic about this. You can't chop off, you chop off this stuff overnight and really try to slam the China. You'll create a war, folks. Maybe not a physical war. I pray not, but maybe. But you'll create a financial war like you've never seen before. A couple of decades ago, I was on the radio, and the communist Chinese threatened what they call the nuclear option. And the nuclear option isn't, like you think, bombs and nuclear activity in a literal sense. It's a financial nuclear option that they were speaking of. Because they hold a lot of the cards. We're in debt to the communist Chinese. Something fierce. And so I'm not advocating for just, you know, loving and hanging out with the communist Chinese and thinking it's all good. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying, though, is you can't upset the apple cart overnight. You've got to slowly but surely take strategic initiative and plan out. You got to, you know, set up a plant map, a roadmap of the future. How do we distance ourselves from the communist Chinese? How do we build our infrastructure? How do we build stability in? How do we create an amicable divorce, if you will, but not blow up the whole thing in the process? How do you back away and get out? I'm not against the Chinese living their lives and having their country and society. And, you know, we can't force them to change and embrace free market principles as we have. And we can't force them to jettison their communist tyrannical agendas. But look, we're on a race to communism ourselves in America. You don't believe me? Go read the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto and you'll see what I'm talking about. We're on the road to every single one of them. Some much further than others. But I don't see a single Communist Manifesto line item agenda that we haven't embraced in America to a great degree. So I say we need to be very careful. I understand Romney's point that, hey, we got to do a non-traditional boycott of some kind. But look, you're not going to do good by boycotting the Olympics, okay? It's not going to do any good. Why not use that as a way to say, look, we're all humans and we can work together and we can set aside politics and country antics, if you will, and we can take a break and we can have friendly games. We can have the Olympics. It shows that we're all human. It lets us learn about one another's cultures. It's a way to politely learn about one another and influence one another, hopefully for good, right? So I'm not really thinking that boycotting the Olympics is the answer at all. In fact, I think what we ought to do is embrace the Olympics as a way to get along, a way to work together, a greater way to build a common bridge. Hey, these things we have in common. We all love sports, and we love to see incredible people or humans with showcase their talents. We're grateful to have friendly competitions and learn about one another's cultures. That's awesome. So I wouldn't boycott the Olympics at all. I'll tell you what I would do, though. I would slowly but surely look at all of our trade policies with the communist China, and I would say, listen, we are going to move towards a relatively net zero trade policy. What does that mean? You say, we're not going to have these massive, never-ending, completely lopsided trade deals that reward the communist Chinese at the Americans' expense. We're not going to do that anymore, okay? And I would advocate for a peaceful plan that says, look, we're also not going to take this away from the Chinese today. We're going to move slowly. We're going to move methodically. We're going to be patient, but we are going to be equitable. And you know what? Every single year, it doesn't have to be exactly zero. It can be plus some, minus some, whatever you want to say. But we're going to eventually put America's economic interests above capitulating to the communist Chinese to the tune of siphoning off of trillions of dollars for the Americans every year. That's not a fair deal. So we need to build a fair, honest, open equity between the nations of the earth. And we do that by putting America first. We do that by rewarding nations that embrace free market economies. We do that by jettisoning the principles that allow the communist Chinese to play enough in the free market to take all of our money off the table and then use that to build their military and then eventually threaten hostilities to us. See, we're not going to do that anymore. And so I would put together probably a 5 to 10 year plan, because this is Solutions Radio. And I would work on eventually creating a net zero trade policy where we say, look, we're not going to trade a whole lot more to you guys than we get back from you guys. We're not going to have these deficits forever. I'm going to give you a 10-year time frame to build your economy and strengthen your economy and embrace the free market principles enough to where you can stand on your own without a big old influx of cash from the Americans. We're going to do that, China, and you're going to play ball in doing that, and we're going to be peaceful in doing it. It's going to happen slowly but surely, one item at a time. You got plenty of time to scramble, plenty of time to work on it. We're not going to yank the rug out from under you. We're going to be kind to the peoples of the world, but we are going to lead by example. That's what I would do on that, quote, trade front. What I would do with the president of the United States is I think he needs to be brought up on international criminal charges. Why? Because he's literally going to globalists to work legislatively to pass global legislation that would literally completely undermine American sovereignty. And I think that we need to go to our congressional representatives and say, you need to look at the president's actions here. And if he is undermining American sovereignty, if he is working on a global stage through Janet Yellen to circumvent your legislative body, then I demand you legislators, we the people demand you legislators on the House, all 435 of you, and on the Senate, all 100 of you, so 535 people, you people need to find out if what he's proposing and what he's working on and what he's doing undermines your sovereign authority, undermines your duties codified by the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. We expect you to stand up and jealously guard your responsibilities. We delegated authority to you, legislative body, via the written contract with America, the Constitution, and the president doesn't have the right to farm that out to a global international body. And so we expect you to hold him accountable. Each branch of government and the dual sovereignty between the states and the federal government, the states and the legislative body, should be holding the president accountable here and reining him in and ratcheting him down by the change of the Constitution to only carrying out his constitutional duties. And for the Congress not to do this, for the states not to do this, I consider a dereliction of duty on their side for not only doing nothing, but they're supposed to jealously guard their delegated authority. They're supposed to rein in the other branches of government. The checks and balances are key to the constitutional exercise. And so I want to point out solutions on your radio. I don't want to be the guy that gives you complaints for 2 hours. I want to be the guy that doubles down, triples down in solutions. We the people need to demand this of our congressional critters. And if they do the job, then great. If they don't, we need to literally next election replace them with people who will. Peacefully, kindly, but insistently, that, you know what, we demand you rein in this out-of-control president. He's lost his mind. He thinks he's a king. I don't know what he thinks, but he has no business, no right going on the international stage and literally creating a minimum global tax. Who's going to collect the global tax? The United Nations? A global IRS? Is that what you want to see? An international, what would they call that, the IRS? Okay, how is this all going to go down, folks? Oh, don't worry, Sam. Each country will police their own citizens by, yeah, how will China collect the tax from their citizens? How will Mexico, how will these other countries do it? The IRS in America is bad enough. These other countries will be way worse. Wow. All right, by the way, did you hear over the weekend? Cybersecurity experts revealed that $500 million, not million, I'm talking billion with a B, $500 million Facebook users had their personal information breached. Yeah, a treasure trove of data, including full names, birthdays, phone numbers, locations, emails, and more. $500 million folks got hacked. And Facebook says, sorry, can't get the information back. All right, where do you get the hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use? Answer, libertyroundtable.com, lovingliberty.net. I am Sam Bushman, and I declare we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore America. The only question left is, will you help? God save the Republic. This nation shall endure.